Title, Multi-Sampled Rave Stabs in Drum Rack Intermediate. Alright, let's build something that instantly says jungle and drum and bass. Rave stabs, those crunchy chord hits that bounce off the breaks, hype the drop, and basically inject attitude into a loop. In this lesson, you're building a drum rack instrument called Rave Stab Kit. The mindset is important. Think kit, not instrument. You're not making one perfect playable piano sound. You're making a set of hits with different jobs. A clean accent, a dirty resish hit, a dubby space hit, a lo-fi crunch hit, and optionally one pad that changes character depending on velocity. That kit approach is what makes it fast at 174 BPM, because you can finger drum or program stabs like percussion. Before we touch Ableton, grab your source material. Aim for 4 to 12 stab samples. They can be classic rave chord hits, short resampled synth chords you made yourself, or chopped old records, if you're just practicing. For tight stabs, keep them short, like 80 to 400 milliseconds. If you want one dubby option, you can go longer, up to maybe 700 milliseconds. But remember, the longer the tail, the more it can smear your groove at high tempo. Now in Ableton, create a MIDI track and drop in Drum Rack. Rename the track and the rack Rave Stab Kit. Open the chain list, and also enable the I/O view inside the drum rack. That I/O view is going to matter later when you start using the drum rack returns like internal sends. Quick workflow tip. Keep your stab pads grouped around C1 to D-1. It sounds like a tiny detail, but it keeps your hands and your MIDI editing consistent from project to project. Step 1. Load your stabs onto pads using Simpler in Classic mode. Drag a stab sample onto pad C1. Ableton will load a Simpler for you. Open Simpler and set it up like a one-shot. Make sure it's in Classic mode. Turn Warp off. For this kind of sound, warp often smears the transient and changes the tone in a way that's not flattering. Set voices to 1 to start. That means if a new hit comes in, it replaces that old one instead of layering and creating mush. Later, if you want a dubby pad to overlap, you can raise voices to 2 or 3 on that pad only. Make sure trigger is on, so every MIDI note plays from the start of the sample. Now shape it like a stab with the amplitude envelope. Keep the attack basically instant. 0 to 2 milliseconds, decay somewhere around 120 to 350 milliseconds, sustain at 0, release around 30 to 120 milliseconds. You're basically telling Simpler, hit fast, speak clearly and get out of the way. Repeat that process for C-1, D1, and D-1 with 3 more stabs. Don't overthink it yet. Right now, we just want 4 usable flavors. Before you start judging which one is best, level match them. This is one of those producer habits that saves you from fooling yourself. On each pad, at the end of the device chain, drop a utility and adjust gain so a single hit lands at a similar perceived loudness. You'll make better tone decisions when volume isn't tricking you. Now let's talk multi-sampling inside Drum Rack. Drum Rack is naturally pad-based. One MIDI note triggers one pad. That makes play it like a keyboard tricky, but we can still get a multi-sampled feel in a super DNB practical way. Velocity layering. Create a new pad, say E1, and this will be your multi-sample style pad. Drop an instrument rack onto that pad. Yes, you're putting a rack inside the pad. Inside that instrument rack, create 4 chains. Put a Simpler on each chain, and load a different stab into each one. These can be variations of the same chord hit, or different stabs entirely, as long as they feel like they belong together. Now enable the velocity zone editor in the instrument rack. Set the ranges so each velocity range selects a different chain. For example, chain 1 triggers from velocity 1 to 40, chain 2 from 41 to 80, chain 3 from 81 to 110, and chain 4 from 111 to 127. Here's a teacher move that makes this way more musical. Don't think velocity equals volume. Think velocity equals timbre. In each Simpler, turn down the amount that velocity affects volume, and instead make the layers different characters. Soft could be cleaner and a touch longer. Medium could be brighter. Hard could be shorter, dirtier, maybe slightly more filtered. Now, when you draw velocities, you're essentially drawing tone changes, not just loudness changes. That's how you make fast, repeated stabs feel alive without turning them into a messy dynamic range problem. Next, processing per pad. We're going stock, but we're going intentional. On pad C1, your clean rave stab. After simpler, at EQ8, hike acid, use a 24 dB per octave filter and start around 150 to 250 Hz. These stabs do not need sub. If it's harsh, gently dip somewhere around 2 to 4 kHz by a couple dB. Then add saturator, drive 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. That gives you density and a bit of bite without needing third-party distortion. Then add auto filter, use a low-pass 12 dB slope, set cutoff somewhere like 5 to 12 kHz, and add a small positive envelope amount so each hit has a tiny wah movement. This is one of the best ways to keep the transient but move the body of the sound. If pitching or processing makes it pokey, a touch of filter envelope often fixes it more musically than aggressive EQ. On pad D1, the restab, dirty and narrow, start with redux, lightly. Downsample maybe 2 to 6 bit reduction 8 to 12. The goal is crunch, not destruction. Then add amp, with something like blues or rock, and keep the gain moderate. After that, EQ8 again. High pass around 180 to 300 Hz, and if it disappears in a busy mix, try a wide boost in the 800 Hz to 1.5 kHz area. On pad D-1, the dubby stab. Put hybrid reverb on the pad chain. Choose plate or room. Keep decay controlled, like 0.6 to 1.6 seconds, and add a little pre-delay, 10 to 25 milliseconds, so the dry hit still reads as a stab before the space blooms. In hybrid reverb's EQ, high pass the reverb itself around 250 to 400 Hz. You're basically saying, we want vibe, not mud. Then add a compressor after it, and if you want it to tuck into the drums, turn on sidechain and feed it from your drum track or break. Ratio 2 to 1 to 4 to 1, attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, release 80 to 180. You're not trying to pump like house music, you're just making room so the snare still feels like the boss. Now, glue the whole rack together using drum rack returns. This is one of the most underused drum rack superpowers, internal send effects that make the kit feel cohesive. Create return A and call it stab verb. Put hybrid reverb on it with a slightly longer decay, like 1.2 to 2.5 seconds, and high pass around 300 Hz. Then put EQ8 after the reverb and notch any harsh ring in the 3 to 5 kHz zone if needed. Create return B and call it stab delay. Put echo on it. Set time to 1/8 or 1/4, feedback around 15 to 35%, and filter it. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Optionally follow echo with saturator for grit. Now go pad by pad and set send amounts. Keep clean stabs mostly dry, maybe 5 to 15%. Dubby stabs can go higher, 20 to 45%. Dirty stabs often want less reverb, sometimes a touch of delay, sometimes nothing. The main idea is, don't drown everything. At 174, too much reverb turns your groove into fog. If you want that classic controlled rave tail, put a gate after hybrid reverb on the return. Fast attack, hold around 40 to 120 milliseconds, release around 80 to 200 milliseconds. The chopped reverb tail is a cheat code for big but not messy. Now macros. One macro should equal one musical intention. If you're not going to automate it in an arrangement, it's probably not worth mapping. An easy setup. Put an auto effect rack on the drum rack output, and map macro 1 to a main tone filter cutoff, like an auto filter on the rack output. Map macro 2 to dirt, like saturator drive. Map macro 3 to space, like the send to return A or reverb dry wet. Map macro 4 to duck, like the sidechain compressor threshold if you're using one. Also consider a width macro. For darker, heavier DNB, narrow the stabs. Put utility on a pad and bring width down to maybe 60 to 90%. Keep the center punchy and let atmospheres and effects be the wide elements. Alright, now let's actually write stabs that work with the groove. At 174 BPM, stabs should support the drums, not fight them. A classic roller move is offbeats, hits on the end of the beat. In Ableton's grid language, that's like 1.2, 1.4, 2.2, 2.4 in a one-bar view. Another very jungle move is call and response with the snare. Place a stab right after the snare, like at 1.3.3 and 2.3.3. Those placements feel like the stab is answering the break, not sitting on top of it. For fills, keep it short and intentional. In the last half bar before a phrase change, do an eighth note run of stabs and ramp the velocities up. Slightly open your tone filter as it rises. That's energy without adding new samples. And here's a drop impact trick that always works. First stab after the drop is dry, loud, short. Second stab, add a bit of delay send. Third stab, add a bit of reverb send. You're literally expanding the space over three hits, so the first one punches, and the next ones create width and excitement. If you want to reduce that machine gun repetition without max for live, you can fake round robin using follow actions. Make the same rhythm on different pans across four scenes, and set scenes to follow to the next every bar. You'll hear the same pattern cycling through different stab colors automatically, which feels way more like sampled hardware. Now, once it's working, do the very DNB thing. Commit it. Resample. Create a new audio track called Stab Resample. Set audio from to your drum rack track. Arm it and record a few bars of your stab riff. Then chop out the best bits. Add small fade outs to remove clicks. High pass the resampled audio around 200 to 350 Hz. Add glue compressor lightly, just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, to make it sit like a record. There's also a fun little old school trick. Create a special vinyl time stab. Resample one stab. Then add a tiny downward pitch droop at the end, like minus 10 to minus 30 cents. Consolidate it and put it back into the rack as its own pad. It's subtle, but it screams classic sampling culture. Let's quickly avoid the common mistakes. Make sure warp is off on one-shot stabs. Keep low end off stabs so they don't fight your sub and respace. Don't drown them in reverb. Use returns and high pass the reverb. Shape envelopes so releases don't blur the rhythm. And don't make everything maximum velocity. DNB is fast. The life comes from variation. Now a quick 15-minute practice loop you can actually finish. Build a rack with four pads. Clean, dirty, dubby, and lo-fi. Set tempo to 174. Program a two-bar loop. Bar 1. Offbeat stabs. Bar 2. Same groove, but add a fill in the last half bar with eighth notes. Use three intensity ranges with velocity, low from 40 to 70, mid from 70 to 100, high from 100 to 127. Automate reverb send only on the fill hits, like a throw. Then resample the loop and pick the tightest one bar phrase. When you're done, you should have one audio loop that punches and one MIDI clip that's reusable in future rollers. Recap, you built a drum rack stab kit, shaped hits with tight amp envelopes, removed useless low end, added control dirt and space with pad processing and drum rack returns, and you learned how to play stabs so they interlock with fast breaks instead of masking them. And you committed it with resampling, which is a big part of getting that finished record feel in a dense DNB mix. This audio version is shortened for playback.